Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world.
Oh, good morning, Beth. I didn't say good morning to you. I'm
you
so
have
sorry.
Not.
I feel so rude.
Hi,
right now.
James,
stop
I'm
the
here.
Show. I apologize. Good morning, Beth.
Good
I'm
morning.
Sorry. That was rude of me. Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, everybody. We got our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay, with us.
Good morning.
Head of production, co-host Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
Let me double check. Yep, the best listeners in radio are here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got fun things lined up for you in a little bit. We're going to be joined by our great friend Tom Heiser with our monthly veterans update. Looking forward to that. Got some entertainment news to touch on as well. Looking forward to all of that. That is going to be a bunch of fun. We're going to have a lot of good times this hour, but we kick things off the way we like to.
Tell me something.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, February 3rd. So we're in February and Valentine's Day is just around the corner.
Love is in the air.
For you and me, Seth, that's every day.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Your story is one of my favorite romantic stories, you two. But this is a food segment, not a love segment.
Well, who says love is just for relationships?
True.
Really? One thing I love on Valentine's Day and throughout the year is chocolate. In fact, February's first was National Dark Chocolate Day.
My favorite kind of chocolate.
I know. Yes. But did you know that chocolate actually started as a beverage and not as a solid?
Hmm.
Yeah. According to the article on history.com entitled History of Chocolate, throughout much of its history, chocolate was a bitter beverage, not a sweet, rich-tasting treat. But after it became popular in the courts of Europe and the streets of colonial America, chocolate soon evolved into the universally loved commodity it is today.
Now, I know that chocolate has been around for a millennia, but it comes from cacao, right? And that when sugar is added to a delicious treat.
That's right. All of that is true, but there's so much more about the history that is absolutely fascinating. The article shares chocolate is made from the fruit of the cacao trees, which are native to Central and South America. The fruits are called pods, and each pod contains about 40 cacao beans. The beans are dried and roasted to create cacao beans.
Real quick side note, we should have never stopped calling chocolate cacao. We
cacao, that's a great word, yeah.
How great would cacao chips be?
Yeah, right.
It goes on to say it's thought that the Olmecs used cacao to create a ceremonial drink. However, since they kept no written history, opinions differ on if they used cacao beans in their concoctions or just the pulp of the cacao pod. The Olmecs undoubtedly passed their cacao knowledge on to the Central American Maya, who not only consume chocolate, they revert it. Mm-hmm. The Mayan written history mentions chocolate drinks being used in celebrations and to finalize important transactions and ceremonies.
Mm.
Despite the chocolate's importance in Mayan culture, it wasn't reserved for the wealthy and powerful, but was readily available to almost everyone. In many Mayan households, chocolate was enjoyed with every meal. In Mayan, chocolate was thick and frothy and often combined with chili peppers, honey, or water.
Nice. The Mayans weren't the only ones to enjoy this tasty treat, the article says. The Aztecs took chocolate admiration to another level. They believe cacao was given to them by their gods. Like the Maya, they enjoyed the caffeinated kick of hot or cold spiced chocolate beverages in ornate containers, but they also used cacao beans as currency to buy food and other goods. In Aztec culture, cacao beans were considered more valuable than gold. Aztec chocolate, which they called chocolatl,
mm-hmm.
I like
yep.
that too, actually.
Chocolatl
was mostly an upper class extravagance, though the lower classes enjoyed it occasionally at weddings and at other celebrations.
Eventually, chocolate did make its way across the Atlantic to Europe. History.com states there are conflicting reports about when chocolate arrived in Europe, although it is agreed it first appeared in Spain. No matter how chocolate got to Spain, by the late 1500s, it was a much loved indulgence by the Spanish court, and Spain began importing chocolate in 1585. As other European countries such as Italy and France visited parts of Central America, they also learned about cacao and brought chocolate back to their respective countries. Soon, chocolate mania spread throughout Europe. With a high demand for chocolate, some came chocolate plantations, which were worked by thousands of enslaved people. But European palates weren't satisfied with the traditional Aztec chocolate drink recipes. They made their own varieties of hot chocolate with cane sugar, cinnamon, and other common spices and flavorings. Soon, fashionable chocolate houses for the wealthy cropped up throughout London, Amsterdam, and other European cities. Unfortunately, the way cacao is sourced isn't much different today. According to the article, modern-day chocolate production comes at a cost. As many cacao farmers struggle to make ends meet, some turn to low-wage workers or slavery, sometimes acquired through child trafficking, to stay competitive. To expand cacao plantations, many companies are destroying rainforests, particularly in West Africa. This has prompted grassroots efforts for large chocolate companies to reconsider how they get their cacao supply and its environmental impact. It's also resulted in appeals for more fair trade chocolate, which is created in a more ethical and sustainable way. So all of a sudden, my love of chocolate is not so great.
Yeah. It's, well, we started to see some of this with coffee. You know, fair trade coffee has become a big thing. And I think we're starting to see more and more with chocolate as well. You can get really good chocolate and that's been produced in a fair and equitable way. So
it's another example is we don't often think about where our food comes from and what it takes to get the food that we like and enjoy. We just take for granted, oh, I like chocolate, I'm going to buy a Mars bar or whatever.
Right.
And we don't think about, well, who's the one making the chocolate? How are the ingredients being sourced? This is a real eye-opener.
This month, you're going to have more than any other month, chocolate and diamonds being sold and handed out with loved ones.
Yep.
And I've gone on the air many times. I'm a foolish romantic, and I can't think of anything less romantic than the idea of knowing where these items come from.
Right.
And both of those items I mentioned can be sourced or created ethically.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Completely ethically. There's no need to be doing this. There never was, but especially in 2025, there's certainly no. And I just mentioned in the previous segment, where do you want to be on the side of history? Because history will judge us on these things. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just the people over there in Africa. I'm talking about the human race.
Absolutely.
Like, we all get thrown into this one.
Yep.
It is a military rules here. One guy messes up, everybody gets punished. So let's not let that guy mess up. Let's go ahead and keep them in line.
That's right.
And
keep
be
them
on
honest.
These things. And as we all know, if you want to do some good, there's a lot of great grassroots efforts out there. The greatest ones involve money. The greatest ones involve holding back your money from these companies.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you think, okay, where do I go then to find this? Well, if you pop on the internet, you can type in fair trade chocolate, and there is a whole lot of places where you can purchase fair trade chocolate.
Or even give the names to your local grocery store. Maybe you can have them I can't think of the word now. Stock it. That's it. They can stock it.
And be on the lookout for Jimmy's Chocolate Shack. I'm working on my own shop.
So you can find all types of chocolate, especially fair trade chocolate, if you go to the internet and just type that in.
You mean like light, dark, and white? Those are the main three.
That's right. The National Confectioners Association on their website, candyusa.com. Love that name.
Perfect.
Yeah, great name.
Gives these criteria for each of them. So dark chocolate is the bare essentials. Dark chocolate is simply chocolate liqueur, the centers of cacao beans ground into a liquid, extra cacao butter, sugar, and emulsifier, often lectin, and vanilla or other flavorings. Mm. Dark chocolates may contain milk fat to soften the texture, but they do not generally have a milky flavor. Dark chocolate also is known as semi-sweet chocolate. Those chips that you like to put in your cookies.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Unsweetened chocolate or baking chocolate is 100% chocolate liqueur and is typically very bitter and astringent. Darker chocolates often have a higher percentage of cacao, which means they have a higher proportion of cacao beans in them than other chocolates do. Milk chocolate, above all else, it has those milk solids to it. And surprisingly sweet and creamy milk chocolate isn't usually made with cold, frothy milk. It's usually made with milk solids, dry milk solids, which look like powdered milk. Milk chocolate has at least 10% cacao liquor by weight and at least 12% milk chocolate. It's the most common kind of eating chocolate. So think candy bars.
Mm-hmm.
White chocolate is cacao butter takes center stage. White chocolate features cacao butter. Think milk chocolate minus the cacao solids. In addition to the cacao butter, sugar, milk solids, lectin, and vanilla, white chocolate may contain other flavorings. It has at least 20% cacao butter, 14% milk solids, and more than 55% sugar.
I knew white chocolate tasted different.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I thought so. I had a feeling.
But of the three, dark chocolate has the most health benefits. According to an article on the Johns Hopkins Medicine website, hopkinsmedicine.org, beginning or creating a balanced relationship with dark chocolate in particular may have a significant positive effect on your overall health. Dark chocolate contains powerful antioxidants. Among the most beneficial is a flavanol. I love that word. Flavanol called epitechin. There we go. Flavanols are compounds found in plants that fight inflammation and protect against cell damage caused by free radicals.
That's right. It goes on to share a few of the ways research has shown that dark chocolate can benefit you. It increases heart health. The antioxidants in dark chocolate have been shown to lower blood pressure, reduce the risk of clotting, and increase blood circulation to the heart, thus lowering the risks of stroke, coronary heart disease, and death from heart disease. It balances the immune system. Flavanols prevent the immune system from going into overdrive and reduce oxidative stress, which is an imbalance caused by cells fighting against free radicals and a common cause of many diseases. It combats diabetes. Now, who would have thought chocolate could fight diabetes?
I know. It's great.
The I can't even say it either.
Epicatechin?
There you go. Yeah, protects like cells, makes them stronger, and supports the process that helps the body to use insulin better, which might prevent or combat diabetes. It improves brain function. Flavanols in dark chocolate have a positive impact on brain function, including better reaction time, visual spatial awareness, and stronger memory. Though research is ongoing, one reason this may be is the flavanols increase blood flow to the brain. So if you want to remember something, eat some dark chocolate.
Excellent.
Boosts athletic performance. The epicatechin in dark chocolate increases the production of nitric oxide in the blood, which supports circulation and reduces the amount of oxygen an athlete uses while engaged in moderately intense exercises. This allows the athlete to maintain workout intensity for longer. It also reduces stress. People who ate dark chocolate reported that they felt less stress, and researchers confirmed that after eating dark chocolate, there were reduced levels of the stress hormone cortisol. This may be related to dark chocolate's effects on heart health, since stress is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Now, experts recommend minimally processed dark chocolate with at least 70% cacao content, and maybe have an ounce as an occasional treat. You should always check the label to be aware of the calories, fat, and sugar content, which could potentially affect the overall health benefit.
The article finishes by saying, in the end, indulging in an occasional chocolate treat shouldn't be fraught with stress or guilt, whether it is an antioxidant-rich dark chocolate or white chocolate, which has very little nutritional benefits. As in most healthy relationships, the key is to maintain a positive and balanced outlook. Dark chocolate has many health benefits and can definitely be enjoyed as part of a balanced diet. Mom! Jeez, Beth even says that.
Beth found the research to support it, what that did. And we'd like to have a healthy relationship with your business as a sponsor for our segment.
If you're interested in more information about this sweet deal, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's a wonderful
wow.
one.
Wow. Really learned good. So much really about good. Chocolate. Yeah.
Nice work. Nice work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever done a segment that's made me more hungry. Be on the lookout for the next kitchen's open. It'll be in this time slot next Monday. Be looking for that, everybody. Again, thank you to Beth. Nice work, Beth.
Thank you.
We'll come back and we'll have our monthly Veterans Update with Tom Heiser coming up right here on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Your host, James, here. I am joined by Melissa.
Hello.
And Seth.
Good morning.
And we have right now in studio with us our great friend Tom Heiser with our monthly Veterans Update. Tom joins us every month right around now this time of the month to hang out with us. We appreciate that, Tom, so much. Thanks a lot for being here, and thanks for the notes.
No problem. Glad to do that. Glad to keep everybody informed. Good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you here, Tom. And we do appreciate the not only the focus of being able to put on our veterans, but the time that you yourself put into these things and letting Pam and Melissa and I know about these events behind the scenes so much and everything. I really do appreciate all that.
Well, I appreciate doing it. And I say I appreciate doing what you guys are doing. It really helps out. And just getting the information out there. And when we sit here and we talk about things that happen in history,
Exactly. I don't know if history. I don't want to over sensationalize or anything like that. That happens too much. But I don't know if history's ever been more important. And so when you share these things, I hope that, like, for many people out there, it springboards them to look into this event and to read about this event and find out about this event. Certainly, first and foremost, to remember those that gave the ultimate for these in these events or anything. But the history of it is also important, not only so we don't just repeat it. That, I think, is a common phrase. It's important also because that's the pride we take in these things, the accomplishment that we can take in these things. And it maybe remember what we took pride in.
Right. And this month, there is something really special that we all do remember. And yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where do we start, Tom?
Okay. Number one, there is no Vietnam Veterans of America meetings in February. Official business meetings. We're going to have something coming up later. Mm-hmm. No Heroes Cafe in February. So no chocolate donuts.
Speaking of chocolate, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, nicely done.
Today we have the monthly breakfast over at Grace's Restaurant. They're already enjoying that. Mm. And also, today is the USO was incorporated in 1941.
Yeah. Ooh,
wow.
Yeah. That's an amazing note. That is a really impressive note. For those that don't look at the origin story, the beginnings of that, I think it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is, because it's been going on. They're still going to all the conflicts that we're involved in.
Yeah.
We know it's not Bob Hope anymore, but there's still people going.
And I want to say a part of it is named after Bob Hope or something like that. There's something involved that Bob Hope's name is attached to still.
Yeah, there's something so is. I can't remember what else
I'm
of
him
head,
is
yeah.
still around mm-hmm. and everything, which I just think is very cool. I think that's awesome.
He was there for years. I mean, yes. He went everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. And then Wednesday, American Legion Post, their monthly meeting at 7 o'clock. And then also on Thursday, February 13th, is Rudolph American Legion has their meeting. And then on the 13th also was the Marine Corps Women's Reserve was established in 1943.
Wow.
You know, so
another impressive note in history.
You know, you talk about Rosie the Riveter. Mm-hmm. You also had female Marines.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the waves, you had the wax, you had all kinds of, all of that during World War II. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That all came about.
Mm-hmm. And the WASP with the Air Force, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just, I mean, it's such a different story if we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
The war is so different if we do not have those assets.
Yep.
We don't have that coming to their.
Right. That, you know, very important. And then on Friday the 14th, the VFW is going to be presenting the colors at the boys' basketball game.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. And then on Saturday the 15th is the VBA budget meeting. So if you're a member of the VBA, come on out. See where our money is going to be distributed in the community.
Mm.
You know, nobody gets a salary. It's all turned back over to the community.
Yep. It's a great way of kind of finding those things out. The transparency with our VFW, like most of our nonprofits these days, is unparalleled. I really do appreciate that. I know the community does. I hope that it encourages people to give and to look into these things. I also think it's just interesting. I just think that I don't think most people, even those that care, unless you are actually working with the VVA mm-hmm. and the VFW, you know all the work that they do. So I think that part is just interesting, too, for people to kind of have their eyes open to some of this stuff.
Exactly. You know, the brat fries, mm-hmm. we don't get any of that money.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's our gas money, our time is all donated, so to say.
It, again, going above and beyond.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then on the 20th, the VFW has their monthly meeting at 6 o'clock out of the VFW post. On Friday the 21st, we're doing the girls' basketball game, presenting the colors at that. Mm-hmm. We just got done doing the wrestling.
Very cool.
We have a good relationship with the school district here.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, here's the one we can all remember. The 23rd was Iwo Jima flag raising.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody, you say that, you know, you got it in your mind.
I got chills when you said that. Yeah. I mean, just hearing you say it. Yeah.
1945. On Thursday, February 27th, the Persian Gulf ceasefire started. So, and then going into March, the monthly vets breakfast is on the 3rd. And on the 7th and 8th, VFW is again doing presenting the colors at the state gymnastic tournament that is here in Rapids.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that,
everybody
right.
from... If you haven't gone to one of those and seen the kids,
oh, yeah, they're awesome.
It's just what they can do is fantastic.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Some of the greatest athletes you're going to see are on those mats, yeah.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, jumping, twisting, turning. My knee already hurts.
Yeah, yeah, just thinking about that. It's a good thing. You know, right. That would be great, though. You guys, in order to present these, though, you got to do a bunch of that. what I appreciate about this, too, Tom, and I can imagine for the individuals to get to go to these events is certainly the representation and being able to see this and us giving respect and respect being given both sides and all that. But I talk about this a lot with Sheriff Becker. I talk about it a lot with most of our extension people and certainly with our teachers and our educators in this city. You have no idea what spark might be started.
Right.
From seeing an individual, from seeing this. What kid in that audience, even if just one kid sees that and is like, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to be that. We need that. We need more of that. And I could say that about a lot of industries, about a lot of things, but especially when it comes to this. The we have no idea what that might spark, you know? So there's so many layers to something like this. And seeing our vets at these events, it's important.
You know, and you look at it, Rapids is holding state tournaments, cross country meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's kids from all over the state. The gymnastics meet. Mm-hmm. You have the water ski tournament.
Yep.
I mean, and there is so much. And I'm sad to hear people say, "Well, there's nothing to do."
Oh yeah,
dude. There's a lot,
plenty to do.
You're not looking.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else is on Mondays. Every Monday at 3 o'clock, the VA has joined in conjunction with the YMCA. Hmm. Where you have an hour of Tai Chi.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
But it's got to go through the VA. You got to get on the list and get in there. Started going there, and there's, I would say, 30 people there.
Yeah.
Right on. Right on. Very cool.
Nice. And nobody's doing martial arts. You're just getting sore muscles. These different moves.
Yes.
Right.
Such a wonderful workout. Such a great way to get some flexibility back and some agility even. It's a good one.
Hmm. So that's about
it. Okay. Tom, thank you so much for this. If people have follow-up questions, Tom, they'd like to know more about some of the things we mentioned here or anything, is there a way for them to get that information, reach out to you? Or
right. Biggest thing to do is just call the VFW.
Mm-hmm.
Our Commander Sean Plant is very familiar with what's going on with the VFW, the VVA, the American Legion groups. So just give us a call at 715-600-0401. And he answers, or if he's busy, just leave a message, and he definitely gets back to you.
All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you miss that or need that information, we can get it to you. Just reach out to our front desk at 424-1300 or me, James, at civicmedia.us, and I'll go ahead and make sure to get it to you, everybody. And be listening next month for another monthly Veterans Update from our great friend, Tom Heiser. Appreciate you, Tom. Thanks for being here.
And thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Gets the word out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll get to a news and sports break and take care of our partners. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks to Beth for the kitchens open and Tom for the monthly veterans update.
Yeah.
Fun hour already.
Mm-hmm.
Got some entertainment news to dive into. And before we get to some Grammy news and some local theater news, Netflix is rebooting Little House on the Prairie. The original series told the kind of true story of the Ingalls family who lived in a farm in Minnesota in the late 1800s. It was mostly based on the books by Laura Ingalls Wilder, and it ran from 74 to 83. A Netflix exec says that the new version will be, quote, part hopeful family drama, part epic survival tale, and part origin story of the American West. There's no word yet on the casting or start date. The original series streams on Peacock, where people watched more than 13 billion minutes of it in 2024.
Whoa!
And honestly, still very popular. My goodness.
Honestly, I don't usually get to these stories if there isn't anything like a casting news right. or a release date, because oftentimes this stuff can be lost in the ether, you mm-hmm. know, and we never yeah. hear about this or anything because exactly. The money wasn't there or something like that. Trust me, my acting career is riddled with it. But I think that part, that last part, I thought was really cool and really noteworthy. The original series streams on Peacock, where people have watched more than 13 billion minutes of it in 2024. That wow. show is still relevant with people.
It is. What do you think, Melissa?
The reboot should be lost in the ether.
I was wondering how you're going to feel about that.
They absolutely are wrong. They're wrong.
Wow.
With this one, they cannot make it better. Because what they did in the 70s with this show was so much better than the books. The books whitewashed everything. The show.
That's true. That's true.
And yeah. Melissa Gilbert has come out and spoken about this mm-hmm. and said, you can't. you just don't bother.
So I think that certain stuff, I generally, as unpopular as it is, I think certain things, we got better graphics nowadays.
Right.
I can take Buck Rogers and I can make it incredibly more fascinating and interesting now. Stargate or what was the big one of the years back on sci-fi? There's a couple of these where yeah. they remake them mm-hmm. and it's, you know, a whole new audience and they right. people enjoy it or whatever. But that, to me, it tells you right there on the surface what it should be remade and what shouldn't. And it's involved stuff that involves the future, stuff that involves things that
yeah.
are,
yeah. you know, way... Continue Firefly.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yes. yeah, exactly. Yes. Good example.
I think those things, I completely get why we're making new Star Wars movies and everything. We're able to do so much more mm-hmm. now with graphics and all that and sound effects and everything.
Right.
We just have so much more ability. Anything that is about the past that was made in the quote past and the recent past, mm-hmm. You can't do it better. The technology actually will not allow you to do it better.
Exactly.
Just as an example, there's a band called Tame Impala. A great band. I really mm-hmm. like them a lot. Part of what I like about them is I guess I don't know in recent albums, but their first couple of albums, they literally went out and bought old guitars. In old 70s guitars and everything, so the sound is exactly from that era. Mm. No up techniques or anything like right. that. None of the modern science on the boards or anything. Straight up, all the equipment. Not just the guitars,
yep.
the cords.
All the sound, the recording
the amps,
equipment.
Yep. Everything from the 70s. Because you cannot do that any other way.
Right.
So Little House on the Prairie literally can't be made any better than the way it was made originally if you're trying to do something that is not autobiographical, but
right.
somewhat. If you're trying to tell the past, the only way to do it was then.
Right.
But now you have all the great graphics. You have all these different things, you know, costumes, all that stuff, and none of it is going to come close to the original.
Right.
No,
right.
That's not what the viewers of that show even want.
Right. They want the original show, right?
They want the original.
Yep.
And Melissa Gilbert even said, you know, we tackled racism, addiction, nativism, mm-hmm. anti-Semitism, misogyny, rape, spousal abuse, and every other kind of woke topic you can think of. Thank yeah. you very much.
The show was way ahead of its time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't see why you couldn't just do The Wilders and just do a whole different, completely show. You could do it similar to this.
Yeah.
You could still tell her books in the story from mm-hmm. those or whatever. But I understand the need to parody, but this has only an opportunity of blowing up in their face, and mm-hmm. I immediately knew this was a Netflix thing. I did not need to look at the trades or anything to find out.
All they're doing is looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
They're looking and say, oh, wow, look at how popular the reruns of the show are on Peacock. Well, we can, you know, exploit that, because that's all Netflix does is look at numbers. Yeah. That's all they look at.
And Netflix subscribers, when you see those prices rising, it's for things like this that we didn't uh-huh. even ask for, that right. nobody
let's,
wants.
Let's ruin a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Netflix.
Let's do that. Netflix. Let's have Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight and not even do it well.
Yeah, right.
We have so many amazing authors and artists and yeah. creatives out there. We have local ones that are writing wonderful books right here. Take mm-hmm. one of those and turn it into a Netflix show.
Right.
I mean, maybe ask the artist first, because they might not want your grubby fingers on their work. But
right.
but we have wonderful things being created now.
New stuff.
Why do we have
yeah.
to keep rehashing old things and remaking old things? Disney with your live animations. It's
yep.
just
yep.
it's pathetic.
Netflix, yeah, Netflix has board members and executives that live, every one of them live in their own bubble. Mm-hmm. And it shows with things like this every time. Mm-hmm. This is not what people want. Now, if you want to buy the rights from Peacock for the original show and play it on Netflix, that is not a bad marketing. That's smart business.
Yep.
That would actually be smart business. This is just wasting money. This is just burning money. And your money, by the way, everybody. Your money they're burning. Mm-hmm. Your money that you're paying, the extra money you're paying, which is why I canceled mine. I ain't looking back.
Yeah, like, yeah. You're not the only one. Yeah, there's a lot more people doing that. Yeah,
and I'm one of the last people can afford to because I audition for Netflix shows like a couple times a year,
right?
And everything, and I'm still doing it
because that's where the business is, unfortunately, right now. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the few things I'll say nice about it. It's like they're giving actors a lot of opportunities. So there's a lot of shows, but they
who's watching them?
Here's the weirdest thing, and I'm sharing a little bit of insider stuff here, but not really. I think that if you're into the acting business, you may know what I'm about to say. But there are agents out there that will tell you not to audition for Netflix shows.
Wow.
Say I audition for a Netflix show and I get cast. Great. And I'm on this show. And we're going to do a whole season. Fantastic. Well, I am booked for that show. So I cannot audition for other things.
Right.
So when Netflix decides, hey, this show is really popular, let's cancel it. Those jobs that I could have been doing that actually would have been actually given me consistent work are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the equivalent of putting enough gas in your car to get you to work, but not home. It's a little it's like metaphor. That.
You know, yeah, it's really interesting to see that. And that side of the creative, you know, of actors and stuff, seeing that is really fascinating.
Well, and this is what agents will tell you. Now, I don't know a single actor that's turning anything down, though.
Right. It's work is work. Yeah, I get you.
Including myself, which even though I know better and everything I just said. But as a struggling artist, what do you think I'm going to do? I get a good acting opportunity.
You're going
to
take it?
Yeah, I got to take it. Got to. And they got actors behind the barrel on this one.
Yeah,
and creatives, not just actors, creatives under them. Speaking of creatives, last night's Grammys were just as much about the LA fires as they were music, and that part I do note them for. The show even ended with local firefighters being brought on stage to be cheered by the crowd.
Wow.
And to announce Album of the Year, which Beyonce won for Cowboy Carter.
Nice.
You know, because you heard a bunch of people whining about it. If you can't believe it, this is Beyonce's first win in that category, despite four previous nominations.
Wow.
Only proving her point that the only way to get you know this award was to do that type of music.
To like go way off script, right?
Yeah,
basically.
She didn't say this. Everybody else was. Everybody else was like, oh, so now you'll give it to her because she did country music. So yeah, and to this point, this Houston, Texas native, this country raised girl. Has been completely dismissed by the country industry, except by the radio stations and by the masses and everything.
Right.
I cannot understand this. This is one of the most talented.
It's like the people in charge don't know what they're doing.
Almost.
Cowboy Carter also won Best Country Album.
Aha, so there.
And in addition to honoring first responders, the show raised more than $7 million just for viewers watching at home. That's not even to say, like, every artist was doing similar things, like where they were donating certain stuff, their costumes or whatever.
Cool.
There were several musical tributes to the city as well, and the show kicked off with the band The Dawes leading an all-star band performance of Randy Newman's I Love L.A. Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars teamed up on California Dreamin' from the Mamas and the Papas.
Ooh, that's cool.
And there was a surprise performance by The Weeknd. I guess him and the Academy are okay again now. And speaking of a little bit of surprises, Will Smith narrated a tribute to the late Quincy Jones, which included performances from Cynthia Erivo, Herbie Hancock, Lainey Wilson, and Stevie Wonder.
Ooh. Wow.
Interesting.
It was cool to see Lainey in there, too. That was great. And Janelle Monáe, who brought The House Down with Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, did a great job, an amazing job.
That's cool.
It was a really cool one. Nobody had a worse night than Drake.
As a shock to nobody,
I can't stop laughing about this, man. Because Kendrick Lamar's song was the song of the summer, not like a song of the summer, all that. You've got people in other countries chanting this and singing it. But then Kendrick Lamar goes out there and wins, won multiple awards, including Song of the Year and Record of the Year.
Oh, no.
And so you have the entire, and as he's walking up the stage, I actually got to see a little of this. Actually, he's walking up the stage. You've got Beyonce and Billie Eilish and all these people crip walking, people just dancing to his song. The whole entire music industry just basically just shredding Drake. Just like everybody in unison.
Wow.
I've watched rap beefs my whole life, and I've never seen anything on this level.
No.
It's insane what has happened here.
Craziness.
Chaperone picked up Best New Artist.
Oh, cool.
So
awesome.
She is fascinating, yeah.
Best Pop Vocal Album went to Sabrina Carpenter, along with Best Solo Performance. Best Duo, Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. Charlie XCX won for Dance and Electronic. Best Rock Performance, Now and Then from the Beatles.
Really? Whoa.
Maybe their last.
Very well be the last one, yeah.
Wow. St. Vincent won a bunch, too. She won for Best Rock Song, Best Alternative, and Best Alternative Album.
That's because she's awesome.
Yeah, she really
is. She's absolutely fabulous.
If you don't know her, everybody, like, look her up. Mm-hmm. Best Comedy Album went to Dave Chappelle for The Dreamer. And let's see here. Oh, and Best Audiobook, Narration and Storytelling Recording, Last Sundays in Plains, A Sentinel Celebration by Jimmy Carter.
Aww.
That's pretty cool.
Awarded posthumously. Yeah.
Want to remind everybody that our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater are celebrating 50 years, and you can help them celebrate by going to see Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming up at the end of the month, everybody get your tickets now so you can pick out your seat. They have such a cool seating arrangement
there.
And there really isn't a bad seat. But if you want to pick the special one out, you can do that by picking up your tickets at wrctheater.org.
Mm-hmm.
wrctheater.org. And keep in mind,
to see the set, you guys. It looks so cool.
Isn't it nice? Yeah, yeah, it's great.
It's
very
great.
Cool. Very, very cool. I want to remind everybody that coming up on February 20th, we've got Silver Foxes have their Situation Comedy, a radio show.
Nice.
Be on the lookout for that one. That is pretty cool. And, next month, got auditions for Noises Off.
Yeah.
That's right. It's coming up soon.
Someone we know doing that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
As soon as I find out who's directing Noises Off, I'm going to be bombarding them with my headshots and my resume. And, I can't wait. Oh, I got to look that up. Find out more at wrctheater.org, everybody. Buy local, support local. We'll be back with more show coming up.
Can we mention CWACTs? I got to see Clue yesterday, you guys, and it was fantastic.
Absolutely, yes.
I was going to bring this up tomorrow, so let's do it now.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
It's so good. It's really, really good. If you haven't seen it, you absolutely have to get over there and see it. Their set is fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. What did you think of the set? Yeah.
It was so cool. Like, there were parts of it that just, like, fold out. It's like the game board on stage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a great
it's
way to
so
put
cool.
it.
So cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that is. See what we're talking about here. Get your tickets for Clue. They're coming back on the 7th and 8th this week, so be sure to get your tickets for that at CWAC.org, everybody. CWAC.org.
Nice.
Be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to wrap up the show, take you to the top of the hour, get into our schedule, get some good stories of the day, and some local events we want to touch on. All that coming up for you, everybody. I had mentioned that we were going to get into one of the most popular Super Bowl foods. We're going to do that coming up here in a couple of days. We'll get into that one when we have a little more time, because it's a longer one.
All right.
We'll get into that one a little bit later. For right now, do want to touch on some local events going on and start off with our schedule. And boy, do we got a good one lined up for you. Be sure to stick around for Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10. Jane will give you a great time right up to the noon hour. Please stick around for that. Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 today. Be sure to tune in for that one as well. And we'll lead you into Midday Magazine 4 to 5. In part one, we kick off the week, right? Oh, strong kickoff to the week. We have our friends from the Arts Council in. Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council. We'll have Eric Britnacher from the Performing Arts Center over here as well. And we're going to be joined by Ron DiStefano, co-creator of Bachelors of Broadway.
Cool.
Ron's going to join us. We're looking forward to talking Bachelors of Broadway and talking about all the great things going on over there. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
In part two, Mary Schultz, chair of Empty Bowls and chair of Focus, is going to be with us.
Excellent.
Good. It's that time of year again where we talk about empty bowls. And
it's a fun event.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Cannot wait. Great stuff on your radio dial afterwards, too, because at 5 o'clock, we got Playmakers.
Playmakers. Ooh.
Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Excellent.
Hey. Yeah.
That's great.
We got two sponsors. Yeah. we are so excited about today's show. We got a bunch of great things to talk about, and we're going to be talking Super Bowl all week long, of course, as well. And on our sister station over at 105.5 WIRI, it is a ball night. 6:50, we'll kick things off. Port Edwards boys basketball host Northern Lutheran. Randy, Mike, and Laura are going to have that one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Wait, no, that is not. That is not happening. That is not. That is not what. I have the wrong schedule.
Well, wrong schedule.
I knew that was wrong as I was reading it.
Psych.
I knew it was wrong as I was reading it.
Oh, yeah, that was last week.
I knew it.
Right?
I knew it. I Ron Burgundy that. I completely just read what was on the teleprompter there.
We do have some high school basketball this week. Yeah. We do it Tuesday and Thursday. So, yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow that we do.
Tomorrow that we have our next game.
I apologize about that, everybody. Seth does have something that actually is coming up, and boy, are we excited about this.
Yes, James mentioned it just briefly. We do have the Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of the Theater, coming to town, coming up on the 20th of February at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids. You're going to hear about that today on Midday Magazine from Sally and Eric. It's a brand new three-man act, features lush symphonic arrangements of songs from modern and classic musicals like Wicked, The Phantom of the Opera, Jersey Boys, 42nd Street, Miss Saigon, The Greatest Showman, Dear Evan Hansen, and Les Mis. It's going to be a fabulous event, everyone. Go to get your tickets right now, savorthearts.com. If you need a little help with that, you can contact the Arts Council at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Rapids, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30. You can also give them a call, 715-424-2787. But wait, there's more. They're also having a dinner before the show. This is going to be at the Ridges. They're offering a special dinner for this. You must purchase those meal tickets before February 6th. That's Thursday. So that's why I'm kind of letting you know about this now, everyone.
Yeah,
if you want to participate, you have till Thursday to get those meal tickets in conjunction with the great show, the Bachelors of Broadway.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The Lowell Senior Center will again be partnering with the AARP to provide free tax counseling for those who meet their criteria. Appointments are necessary, and you can make one at 715-422-2778, 422-2778, between the hours of 10 and 1 Monday through Friday. Keep in mind that this program runs today through April 9th, so we encourage you to reach out to them anytime in between then for all your needs. Again, you can give them a call at 715-421-1051 for more questions, or reach out to them for to schedule an appointment, 715-422-2778.
Very cool.
And just a reminder to everybody, one other event we got coming up, Seth.
Yes, indeed. Over at Assumption High School, they've got a barn dance coming up Saturday, February 22nd at Assumption High School Gymnasium. They're going to be doing all kinds of great stuff here, everyone. You get your tickets now. They got a presale going till February 19th at the AHS office. $10 for an adult, $5 for children. It's a little more expensive if you pay at the door, but they're going to have a bags tournament there, beanbag tournament as well. But the big thing is they have a dinner from 5 to 6:30, includes broader hamburger, mac and cheese, baked beans, good solid cowboy meal, and then dancing from 6 to 9, line, circle, and square dancing led by an actual caller, everybody.
They're
going to have an actual caller there, so it's going to be a fun event. Saturday, February 22nd, barn dance at Assumption High School Gymnasium.
That's pretty impressive.
So great.
Yeah.
A professional jump roper named David Fisher used his double Dutch ropes to save a teenager who fell through an icy pond in December.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Wow.
The city of Westfield, Indiana, honored him with their life-saving award at a ceremony last week.
Very cool.
That's pretty
quick thinking. Quick thinking.
Wow. Yeah. A mini Dachshund Hound in Utah fostered a kitten and raised it as her own. A video of them playing and making the rounds on social media. If you need a palate cleanser,
nice,
could be a fun one. And here's how resilient kids are. A mass shooting at a splash pad near Detroit last year left 9 people injured, including a little boy named Jack Babbitt B. Boat. Thankfully, no one passed, no one died, but it robbed him of his eyesight. Mm. He's in the news again because of how positive he stayed throughout all of it, but also because he's 8 years old and thinks farts are hilarious. when he was in the hospital, he was playing with a toy called Flarp. It's a jar of slime that makes fart noises and all that. And it was the first time he laughed after the shooting. He asked his grandmother if they could use it to cheer up other kids. So they rounded up 2,400 jars of it, and he's handing them all out to the other kids in the hospital.
Wonderful.
This young boy is doing more than our politicians are for school shootings and for school kids.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Lesson learned. Second. Is this an uncomfortable, awkward story? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because we need to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And it is just a reminder of how resilient and incredible kids are and how they are doing more good in this topic than we adults are.
We need to take note, everybody, that we are being led by our children in a lot of ways these days.
It's a pretty darn cool story.
It is. Very cool.
And we want to remind everybody about our WFHR newsletter.
Yeah. Ooh. Sign up for our WFHR newsletter right on our websites, WFHR.com, or even our WisCountry website, which I believe is WIRI.FM.
That is correct. You got it.
There we go. Yep. I got it.
You can sign up either place.
Right there, you'll get our newsletter right in your inbox for free on Thursdays at noon.
Lots of great information there, everybody.
Sign up, everybody. It is your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news.
That's right.
And keep in mind, we're always looking for feedback on those as well. If there are stories you'd like to see us cover or topics that you'd like to see us dive into, we appreciate your feedback, everyone. Yeah,
absolutely.
And appreciate this team around here. Great work by everybody on that newsletter. We have great people working on.
We do.
Not just certainly here in the studios, of course, but around all the civic media. We've got a lot of great people working on it.
We have reporters all the way across the state.
You got it.
And you can find that and plenty more at our website. Be sure to go to WFHR.com and sign up for that. And go to civicmedia.us. Check out some of our other shows and everything.
All of our podcasts are there. Yep.
Got it all just waiting for you right there. Great show today, you two.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.